What does it mean to be a leader in cancer care? At Davis Hospital Cancer Center, we know. It means a team of experts providing exceptional care using advanced technology and treatment plans designed specifically for each of our patients. And our nurse patient navigators are here to make your experience convenient and comfortable. To find out how our expert team could help you, contact us at davishospital.org. The Cancer Center at Davis Hospital and Medical Center, a Steward Family Hospital in partnership with physician owners.
If you've got an insurance question, you could talk to a park ranger, but the only quotes they'd probably give you would be about the beauty of a fallen leaf or ripples in a pond, not the kind that could save you money on your policies. Or you could talk to your local GEICO agent, who's an expert navigator of the insurance landscape. They could use their expertise to guide you on ways to save hundreds on your policies, while leaving it up to your park ranger to save the wilderness and any endangered picnic baskets. Go online to geico.com/local to find a GEICO agent near you.
Part 4 of the Fringe Radio Show for the 2nd of August. Our guest tonight in the studio is Isaac Weishaupt. Isaac, again, thank you so much for giving up your Saturday night and sharing your stuff with us.
Thanks for having me.
We were talking a little bit on the break about world wealth, and you're going to maybe, if you want to talk a little on that, about how such a small portion of the people own so much.
Yeah, so, you know, if you don't want to believe all the kind of wacky conspiracies, you know, the one thing you should know about is the top 1%, which has been in the news with all the Occupy protests and whatnot. And if you know, the top 1% own, you know, roughly 35% of the wealth in the United States. And that number has been pretty steady for the last, you know, 100 years or whatever. So the fact that you've got these very small elite group of people that own so much money and wealth, I should say, you know, one of the conspiracies that rings true for me, what I believe is, you know, these people have more money than they could even spend. They have to have something else to push for. And, you know, once you have enough money to buy whatever you want, the next thing, like, what's the next thing that you can have? And that'd be power.
Right.
And influence. So, why don't we know the names of these people that are in the top 1%?
Right.
I feel like it's because they're pushing an agenda that we're not supposed to be privy to. And, you know, I feel like that's, it's a power play, I think. And then once you go from there, you can go into, are they reptile people or not, you know?
Right.
And I think there's enough evidence to support this idea that serpents play a huge part of our history. And the fact that, you know, I wasn't a scholar in high school by any means, but I don't know anyone who's had a history class in high school about serpents and serpent worship, but it's a huge part of our history.
It is. It is.
And the fact that, I mean, it's taboo to the point if you say it, people think you're crazy or you're joking or whatever, but, you know, the first form of religious worship ever found was in a cave in Botswana 60,000 years ago, and it was for a python. They were worshiping some python deity, you know, and then it traces all through all the other, you know, the other, like the Egyptians and the Greeks and the Romans, they all had some kind of serpent deity. And it makes you wonder, what's the deal with the snakes? And, you know, it's a little bit of a leap to go to the shape-shifting reptiles, but, you know, I explain all that in the book with the most rational thing is, okay, so like, so on the electromagnetic spectrum, we're able to see this very small slice.
2%.
Called visible light, right?
Right. 2% is what humans 2%. Can see. That's it. 2%.
So that's it, right? And, yeah. And there's this huge spectrum beyond that. So who's to say that there aren't, I mean, like, okay, so I used to ghost hunt, mm-hmm. and you could watch an infrared camera, you could see things move, you can see orbs move. Mm-hmm. I went into a haunted school once, and I watched a video camera with, night vision on it, and they said, you know, watch this screen, watch it for 5 minutes, you'll see something. And I just sat there and watched it, and sure enough, there's an orb that just goes floating by. And, you know, there's no explanation for it. It's just, you know, some kind of energy. And, you know, I can't see that with my naked eye. So it makes me wonder, okay, well, you know, we can see this little infrared band. You know, the infrared's just right beyond visible light. So what's beyond that? The other 98%, you know, like you're saying.
Yeah, well, the human eye can only see 2%. That's it, which is amazing. One of our, we've been with, a online internet radio site called the Inception Radio Network for actually coming up on going to be 3 years pretty soon, I think. It's been at least a couple of years. And a couple of our really good listeners, dedicated followers, have gone out and purchased some high-definition security cameras, mounted them up on tripods out in the yard, and have been just filming tons and tons and tons of, they've been doing sky watching on moonless nights, super clear nights. They've just been filming hours and hours and hours of pulling hours of footage. Actually enough that we're going to do a program on that coming up here pretty soon, kind of on the, you know, on the technicality side of it, of what it takes to do it. It's not that expensive. And long story short is they're capturing a lot of unique things. And I've had the opportunity to take a look at some of the video footage. And I mean, there's stuff that's streaking across the sky.
Oh, really?
I mean, you know, like we talk about, you know, if we want to just shift gears a little bit, talk about, you know, ufology in general. And flying saucers and spaceships and stuff like that. You know, you can look up in the sky. It doesn't mean, you know, a lot of people say, well, I've looked up in the sky for years. I've never seen anything. But if you sat there for hours and hours and hours and looked, and you know what? If you do that, you probably will. And, my friend Bill in upstate New York, has been recording tons of this stuff. And, the videos, you know, there's, again, it's just like, as a ghost hunter, you got to sit down, you know, if you load it into Audition or whatever, and you got to go through all those EVPs. You may hear nothing but static and bumps, but then you get that EVP.
Mm-hmm.
Same with these guys. They have been just capturing tons and tons of video, and it's amazing what they're finding out there.
Have you seen any, you know, full figures of a UFO, or is it like mostly like too quick to discern what it is?
Things that just streak across. I guess we'll have to get some more examples from them, but just a lot of things that are flying over, and they're not bugs. I mean, there's things that are streaking across the sky.
Well, that's like that. I'm sure you're familiar with the Phoenix Lights.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hill.
I
mean, there's thousands and thousands of eyewitnesses.
Right.
I mean, there's no
people,
explanation for that one.
Right. And there's still people that deny it and want to cover it up, you know. But you've got to get out there, and you've got to film this stuff. One of the ufologists that I really look up to is and he's not so much into the aliens and the abductions and all the other stuff, but is a he actually feels that at a young age he was abducted, as a gentleman by the name of Wilbur Allen. Wilbur Allen was a ABC correspondent on Air Force One for many years. Wilbur has a website out there called UFODC, and Wilbur shoots just hundreds of thousands of frames of film with these real high-end Nikon cameras. They're very unique looking cameras. And then he sits there and he goes through all these different pictures and he puts it on his website. And it's amazing. I mean, it is mind-boggling what he is finding and what is coming across the skies. But again, just because most people look up and they don't see something, well, you know.
Have you talked to, since I'm out here in Utah, I'm within a one-day commute to Salt Lake, so I come out here pretty often because I know a lot of people out here, but I met a guy, Ryan Burns. Have you talked to him?
Oh, yeah, from Skinwalker Ranch.
Yeah.
He's been on the show several times.
Oh, have you? Okay, right on.
Yeah,
I guess, you know, he gets tons of wacky stuff out there, too.
Yeah.
I read his book, and he talks about these, you know, like blue lights and all this wild stuff.
Yeah, these streaks of light that open up and people come out of portals type of things. Yeah, yeah.
It's super creepy.
Yeah, and Ryan's not not a nut job or anything.
Yeah,
like
super
that.
Normal. Down
he's
to
a
earth.
Normal guy. Yeah, he's into real estate and all kinds of stuff. But he's down there in Duchesne, and he is just pulling. You know, he's written the books. He goes out and he spends his time, and just he's always observing, and that's what it takes. It just takes hours and hours and hours and days of observing. But yeah, he's picked up a lot of unique things out there.
That, which kind of, I don't want to segue too hard, but you know, Utah's got a lot of strangeness going on with it.
Oh, it does.
Cause I'm from back east. I'm not from here, but
I am too. I'm from Chicago. So.
Oh, right on.
Yeah.
So like there's you know this. I talk about this in the book, like the LDS culture here. You know, I'm not knocking on it. I'm not LDS, but I'm not knocking on it. You know, I'm a Christian, and I fully acknowledge that things I believe in are super strange, and I believe in, you know, I believe in an extraterrestrial, and that I consume his blood and flesh. You know what I mean? Like it's craziness, right? But like it's faith, you know. So I'm not saying I'm righter than them, but what I talk about in the book is there's a lot of, you know, the Freemasonry stuff, so let me back up. So when I talk about the Illuminati, I'm not talking about the Bavarian Illuminati that was, you know, formed in 1776 by Adam Weishaupt, which is...
That was a question. Are you a descendant?
Yeah, no. So that's a moniker, that name. The name Isaac Weishaupt is a play on... Because originally I started the website, it was Illuminati Watcher. So I had to put my name on something. I don't remember what it was. And I was like, well, and at the time I had gotten a couple of death threats.
Really?
I did. And it was because I wrote a post about Saturn, and I talked about the black cube being a symbol for Saturn. And one of the black cubes in the world is the Kaaba, which is like a holy Muslim site. And I kind of conjectured that, you know, I've got a background in engineering. That's what my degrees are in. And, you know, there's a thing called the right-hand rule. And when you put current down a circuit, you put your right hand and the thumb points to which way the current goes. And the people, they make a, the Muslims, I believe they make a clockwise circle around the Kaaba as part of, you know, one of their religious ceremonies or whatever. And, you know, I was theorizing that, you know, if there's an energy from that, it would go, you know, you follow the thumb and it would go straight north. Right. And, you know, maybe that goes to some constellation of wherever.
Sure.
You know, and it was just like a throw it out there thing. Cause there's nothing taboo to me. I'll talk about everything and anything. I even talk about Christianity, you know, mm-hmm. like the cube, the cross is an unfolded cube. You know, and the cube is, you know, all the symbolism, right? It doesn't mean I believe in it. I'm just pointing it out, right? And so I got death threat upon death threat upon death threat.
Really?
And I was like, geez, this isn't worth it to me. Like, I'm not trying to die for this, you know, which is funny because I've got a couple Muslim friends and like super nice people, you mm-hmm. know, and I was like, well, let me just, as much of a cop out and sell out as it is, I took it down because I was like, this isn't worth it. So anyways, I had to put my name on something and I thought, okay, well, I don't want to put my real name on there. So I put Isaac Weishaupt because it's got an I and a W and, you know, it's a play on the Adam. It's probably pronounced Weishaupt, I would guess, but the Bavarian German Adam Weishaupt that started the real Illuminati.
Right.
So anyways, what I'm saying when I say Illuminati, I'm just saying if there's a shadowy secret top elite group that is privy to some kind of ancient knowledge that we don't understand, let's just call it the Illuminati because that's what pop culture calls it. You know, David Icke calls it the Archons. You know, you call it whatever you want to call it. I don't care. I just call it the Illuminati because if people are Googling Jay-Z something, they're going to Google Jay-Z Illuminati, not Jay-Z Secret Society or whatever, you know.
Very interesting. What about on your website, you've got a section on there, and again, people need to take a look at it because the posts are just, you put a lot, I mean, I could tell you put a lot of work into putting your posts together and putting your information together. You've got a page called Transhuman, and we were talking about that. You're going to talk about that a little bit before we went to the news break. What's your thoughts on that and transhumanism?
Yeah, so the transhumanism movement, to kind of succinctly explain what that is, it's this idea that humankind will evolve into more or less robots, right? So we're going to first augment ourselves with technology, which is kind of already happening. You know, you can do stem cells to grow new organs or whatever, but like even if you go on YouTube and look up transhumanism hacking, you can see that people are, you know, they're putting magnets underneath their skin. You know, that's a pretty rudimentary form of transhumanism, but the idea is that the way technology is evolving, we'll eventually be able to kind of augment ourselves with robotics and technology. And, you know, that's a fact. And that's what, you know, Ray Kurzweil, he's this futurist I've read a couple of his books, and he's got a timeline written out of what he thinks is going to happen in the future as technology evolves. And like I said, I went to school. I'm an electronic engineer by education, and we talked about Moore's law, and it's saying the number of transistors you can fit on a chip will double every 2 years. And if you look at that on a graph, it's an exponential scale. And Ray Kurzweil explains all this in his books and says, you know, and he predicted back in the 90s, like all this stuff that's going to happen. And he's saying by 2045, we're going to reach this point called the singularity. And after the singularity happens, the computer brain will be smarter than a human brain. So what does that mean? That means we're going to be faced with a question of, okay, if I've got a computer that I could figure out a way to put, you know, put it inside my brain to make me smarter, should I do that?
Right.
You know, there's all, like, should I have a cyborg eye that I can access my email through my cornea? And, you know, Ray Kurzweil says, you know, things just like that. Like he says, there's going to be a contact lens that you'll be able to put in your eye and access the internet through thought. And they've got toys like that nowadays where you can hook it up to your head and move a ball with just your thought. And
go look at the Google glasses.
Yeah, that's like the first form of it, right?
Right.
And I'm not buying them. I'm going to wait 5 more years when I can have the cornea, you know, lens. But my argument is that this is an Illuminati agenda because they're seeking to have it so that we can upload our whole consciousness into a digital format mm-hmm. and be immortal, basically. And there's different theories for why that is. One theory is going back to the music industry is these people talk about how they sold their soul to the devil for fame and fortune and whatnot. Well, if they can be immortal, they'll never have to pay that debt.
Right.
So they're scared to death to die, right? So if they can live forever, that's great. You know, even like, I think Walt Disney, didn't he cryogenically freeze his head or something like that?
I think that's...
Is that a rumor?
Yeah, I think that's a rumor.
Might be a rumor,
yeah,
right?
That's a rumor.
Yeah, there's a lot of rumors in this realm of conspiracy. But yeah, so, you know, and the fact that we've got Facebook so pervasive, everyone, you know, has a Facebook with all their likes and things they're into. Well, there's a thing called a mind file that a company's making that basically you can upload all of your kind of thoughts and feelings into a digital avatar, sort of. And the idea is that one day when the technology catches up, like, okay, so let's say I open a mind file. I say, my name's Isaac Weishaupt. I like horror movies and conspiracy theories, right? Mm-hmm. Well, you know, let's say, you know, 100 years goes by, you know, and I'm dead and gone. Well, 100 years goes by, and now technology is so advanced that they can take these mind files and upload them into either a virtual reality world like a Matrix world or a robot, and you can't distinguish between the real me and this mind file. And there's a certain appeal to that because, like, if you have a loved one who you can make a mind file for and they pass – you know, that'd be kind of cool to go into, you know, log into a computer and go into this little virtual world and,
right.
Oh, this is cool. I get to communicate with them now.
Right. Right.
Yeah. And it's like real feedback and it feels real.
It's just that the soul isn't there anymore.
Right. And the argument, you know, and this is kind of where the Christian argument comes in is like, this is like the mark of the beast stuff and, you know, but like that's going back to the predictive programming. That's kind of what the film Avatar was about. Right. And it's this idea that you can kind of make a better version of yourself, and that's what this guy does with, I think his name was Sam, in the wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
He eventually stays there, you know, because you can live in, and all of this ties back into, I mean, this is nothing new. This is concepts that they've been talking about forever with, like Plato's Allegory of the Cave, Rene Descartes' Evil Genius, the brain in a vat philosophy stuff. It's all basically stuff you see in the film The Matrix. It's can we be deceived and be used as forms of energy for other beings, as batteries, sort of, for other beings, and then they can just hijack our mind and put us into this virtual world that we don't even know that we're in it.
Right.
And it's one of those conundrums you can't really disprove it, really, right?
Were we in one already, and we didn't even realize it? Oh, I know. Well, you know, the one thing about, I mean, technology is racing, and one fear that I have about it a little bit is that, and maybe this sounds crazy, but will there be a time not that far down the road? Probably you and me won't be around on this planet, but when you've got machines making life or death decisions for people. I think one thing, you know, we always talk about hear about the NSA and their supercomputer plant right down the street, their data center right down here. There's so much information, like you mentioned, Isaac, about Facebook. And now employers look at people's Facebooks, I mean, as part of the employment project, you know, process. I think we're in a society right now where we're heaving out so much information for everybody else to see, you know.
It's a clever ploy because I just made a post about this because you've got these things, these online quizzes. You know, anyone who has a Facebook knows everyone's doing these little fun quizzes.
Sure.
Like, you know, which movie star am I most like? And they know that this feeds the ego and narcissism and in a culture where most people have lower self-esteem, that feels good. So, you know, you play this quiz game or whatever, and you're giving up personal info. And my question is, where is this personal info going? Because I feel like there's always, you always got to trace it back to who's running this thing. Where's the money? Like, follow the money trail stuff, right? So like, there's a place in Utah just down the street from that NSA in Bluffdale. Turns out they're one of the major Quizmakers.
Really?
They're literally 10 miles down the road from the NSA facility, you know. And that's one of the things. And that's why I was saying earlier, like, Utah's got so much strangeness to it. Like, the Mormons have this, they're one of the first people to embrace this transhumanism movement because there's this Mormon Transhumanism Association that holds these conventions annually about transhumanism stuff. And, you know, officially, the Mormon Church or the LDS Church, they don't condone, like, they're not saying, oh, this is part of our church, but, you know, it's in the name, so why is it in the name?
Right.
And, you know, if you look at the all the LDS kind of history, like, Joseph Smith promoted this one world order stuff, which is Illuminati stuff again. It's, you know, he talked about this Council of 50 where he thought he was going to bring the kingdom of God with peace out of chaos, which is a Freemason motto, Ordo Ab Chao. And he tried to run for president but lost. But then you fast forward and there's this, the White Horse Prophecy, where they talk about the LDS, you know, I guess they think they're going to go to the Rocky Mountains and become the white horse that saves the Constitution, and they'll use this secret phrase, the Constitution hangs by a thread, and Glenn Beck said this, Glenn Beck's an LDS guy.
Sure.
He said it on air a few times, and right after that is when Mitt Romney was running for president, and I was like, oh man, I wonder if this is some kind of weird thing going on, but then he lost.
Together.
Right? Yeah. So that's like an argument against the Illuminati, because it's like, well, if they are the Illuminati, he would have won, right? But, you know, maybe they had other plans, but like all this bee symbolism in Utah too is, you know, it's on the flag. It's, you know, you've got the baseball team that's all like bees. You've got the Deseret News, and Deseret is just a, translation of the word bee. All of this ties back to the Merovingians, and that's supposedly like a branch of the Illuminati because the Merovingians had all this bee symbolism in their religion. Like, this King Childeric the First was buried in a suit of bees, and they had this weapon that was called an angon, and, you know, it goes on and on and on.
It's deep stuff. It's really deep
stuff. So, like, to me, it seems like Utah is, like, steeped in symbolism and, like, all this strangeness, like we're talking about the Skinwalker Ranch and, you know, I don't know, you know, like everything else, I explore these ideas. I don't have a silver bullet. I don't, you know.
Sure. Well, you're kind of pulling it all together, but I sometimes do believe that a lot of it could be interconnected in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, I feel like you got to kind of just explore and stab at
right. Different
things.
I mean, let's be realistic, and this is no disrespect, and I'll be caught, you know, I'm going to be cautious how I'm going to tread here. But Utah, I mean, I'm from the Midwest. Whenever people would mention Utah, not that many years ago, before I got here, it was three things, green jello, Mormonism, and, the Osmond brothers. I mean, it was kind of, you know what I mean? Utah was in beautiful scenery and stuff like that. And of course, you know, the population here was heavy LDS, and it still is, not like it used to be. It was the, you know, if you want to call it, it's the local religion that governed everything, and nothing wrong with that. But there is a lot of symbolism in a lot of religions. And if you start digging into them all, I kind of think at the end of the day, like you were mentioning a little bit earlier, I think religions to some degree kind of turn out to be like governments. It's a group. You belong to this group. There's a leadership. You're told, you know, I shouldn't say you're told what to do, but, you know, you follow a course with it. And whether that's Catholic or whether that's LDS or, you know, Presbyterian or Baptist, whatever it is. But sometimes I think people, they kind of lose the meaning of what it's all about because they're too hung up in that religion itself, in that faith. And now more and more is I get the opportunity to interview more and more people. A lot of people are coming out and they're questioning their faith and they're questioning things and they're saying, well, it doesn't matter if, you know, grandma and grandpa and dad and mom said it's this way, this way, this way. I'm curious. Why is it this way? And maybe I don't necessarily believe these things. And I think, again, people are just becoming more and more open-minded and they're looking at other possibilities. And I think that's a good thing. I think it's something that, you know, it's, we're stepping out of that world of dictation, hopefully.
Yeah, you know, I support that also because, you know, if you study something and you question your faith and look at it and say, well, why does it say this in the Bible or whatever? You know, you'll either reinforce your faith and make it stronger or you'll question it and say, well, maybe this isn't right then, you know, and, right. You know, if it's a true faith, it'll hold the test of time and you'll, you know.
Exactly.
Like, you know, like in the book I talk about this Dr. Joe Dispenza, I followed him for a lot of stuff, and he talks about the way the mind works, and there's repetition and ritual involved, and that's something David Icke talks about with this reptilian brain complex, and that kind of ties into what his theory on this reptilian shapeshifter stuff. And the reptilian brain that's inside of us, it looks for rituals and it feeds off of fear, and it's like a fight or flight type response thing. And, you know, that's why David Icke claims that there's all this fear-based stuff in our world, is because the Illuminati or the Archons or whatever you want to call it have taken over, and they get off on this fear. They can absorb this fear and use it for their energy to kind of shapeshift into our dimension and our realm, and they can also use it to feed the system that runs the thing, because we don't have enough time to go into all of it, but, like, you know, David Icke says, you know, it all starts at Saturn. Saturn transmits a signal of this virtual reality world through energetic, like, wavelength of deception, and then it goes to the moon. The moon's a repeater. It broadcasts it down, and we're all in this illusion realm. And like I was saying before, that's nothing new. The idea that we're being deceived is, you know, something that has been going on for centuries, where people have talked about, you know, like the Maya have this, or sorry, the, I lost it. There was a, I can't think of the group. I read in a book, The Four Agreements. They talk about this illusionary fog world called the Maya, whoever this group is. I don't remember. Hindus, I think. I'm not sure. And, you know, and it's all throughout most religions. There's a little bit of talk about this, about how the material world is here to deceive you and trick you. And if you don't recognize that and detach from the material things, you're going to miss the purpose for our experience in this realm.
Well, I think people, you know, this is, we do live in a very materialistic world. I mean, we do. And I think it's, you know, getting back to the McDonald's sign, or I did a lot of reading and research on why Coca-Cola went with the red and white. There's a lot of conspiracy theories there.
Well, do you remember what that was? Or?
Well, it's just, it was the tint of the red and the white, and supposedly, red has a different effect on the human mind and how we look at things.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And one thing, I did see a program a couple days ago about, Coca-Cola bottling, and how they bottle stuff, and on the cans, on the Coca-Cola cans, how the color of the can is it's a special red that you know you can get something really close to it, but it's got its own patent on its color, and there's like two or three people that are constantly sampling the color to make sure that it's like within, you know, 0.001% of tolerance. And it's just kind of strange why it would really matter if it was dark red, off red, you know, light red. But anyway, same with McDonald's, same thing there. But people are so materialistic, Isaac. But I think as we get a little bit older, we start to realize, and the older we get, we start to realize that material things really don't mean that much.
Sure.
Having that fancy car, having the biggest house on the block, it's not where it was years ago. I mean, as we mature, we realize that, you know, family and friends are more important than material things. You know, and, I don't know, maybe the powers to be with the, the powers to be with the Illuminati want to keep that greed cycle going, you know, always buy a new car, buy the bigger house. But I think we've seen, especially with the economic recession and a lot of the things that are happening in the world, we're starting to see that there's definitely, more important things out there than, you know, greedy type, you know, items for greed and physical items. So we got to take a quick commercial break. Our guest tonight is Isaac. What's your last name, Isaac?
Weishaupt?
Weishaupt. We're honored to have him here in the studio. We're going to take a quick commercial break and we'll be back. You're listening to Fringe Radio live on K-Talk. Stick around. We got a lot more to cover.
Nothing but the truth.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Fringe Radio. We're here with Isaac. We've been talking about all kinds of stuff. We got a bunch of questions sent in, and let me go ahead and go through some of these. Bill in upstate New York, my buddy Billy up there, says, Isaac, would transhumanism incorporate our souls in these cyborg bodies? What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think that's the later phases of the project. I think the first project is to just make a digital kind of realm, kind of like a Facebook, but a virtual reality. And I liken it to that film Surrogates that Bruce Willis was in. It was kind of popular, not too popular, but it was interesting because what it was, you know, if you haven't seen the film, it's, you know, Bruce Willis and his wife are in this future world where, you know, you wake up, you go inside your little room in your house where you've got this virtual reality helmet or whatever, and you jack into the Matrix, and, you know, everyone in this Matrix world, they go to work and you do your, you know, your 8-hour shift or whatever. And in, you know, it's funny because in this digital world, everyone's, you know, super sexy and funny and all this stuff. And, you know, once they get off work, he takes his helmet off and he walks over next door to the, you know, his wife's room, and she don't want to come out, you know,
right,
because it's enjoyable to be in this world where, you know, everything works out great. And to me, it seemed like it's like we're being groomed for that, because like on Facebook, it's really a narcissism tool where, you know, like I don't get on there and be like, oh, you know, just failed my midterm exam, I'm an idiot. You know, you'd be like, 100%, baby, yeah, I'm, right, you know, I'm the greatest, or whatever. And you show pictures of the most flattering pictures are on there.
Sure.
And, you know,
the most Photoshop picture.
You're right.
Yeah.
So like it's an appealing idea, you know, to be able to just live in this world where everything's perfect and you don't really have to like work on anything. And I think that's the first step, is once they can perfect the technology and take us from having to, I remember back in the 90s, putting on a virtual reality helmet and playing a game.
It was pretty crude.
Yeah, it was pretty rough.
Yeah.
And I've wondered what's happened to that, because I haven't really seen it. I mean, that was an arcade I played that. And I haven't seen it, and I'm thinking, okay, the technology has definitely progressed, so where is it?
Right.
Like, why, right, when I walk into, I mean, if you can find an arcade anymore,
yeah,
why when you walk into something like that, they don't have that much of it. I've seen it at the fair a little bit. I saw one booth that had something.
Sure.
And it looked like it got way better. So I'm thinking the second that they can make it, the next evolution of video game consoles is going to go that route where you augment yourself with a helmet and it's more immersive and you're in this world.
Want to take a call?
Let's do
sure.
it.
Sure. Well. Caller, welcome to K-Talk. You're on the air with Isaac.
Hello there.
Hello.
Michael here. Isaac, and I'm sorry, the host name slipped my mind, but anyway, I can't jump back into my body because my lizard brain died from that fight or flight energy. My pineal gland died, that lizard brain.
Okay.
It's dead. And if I jump back in my body, it would die.
Okay.
I think I lost you.
Sorry, so I hopped back in, Isaac. I've been like this for 2 years, since January 1st of 13.
Yeah.
A year and a half, I guess, huh? A little over a year and a half. Bertha died in my hands.
So are you saying that you feel like you're out of your own body?
Right now, I feel like I'm crying tears of joy, but it's a wonderful feeling. You lose all fear of death, you know. And
so, can see your physical body, like a transcendental meditation thing, or what are we talking about here?
You become bioelectric energy.
Okay.
And I hate to use the word control, but you control everything that happens on the planet.
You know, that's strange. I've heard people say when they have near-death experiences that time, they are able to see present, past, and future. And if you want to,
I've had many.
Yeah, well, and that's what kind of sounds like you're going towards, is this ability to control everything. And I've heard,
one was documented in the hospital, but I could still hear the doctors talking, saying that I'm dead,
Really?
Yeah. I was still there and listening to every word, and I jumped back in. This was in 94.
Wow.
That's the first time it was actually documented, but this has been happening all my life. I was an ex-fighter, and I was solidly in my body at that time.
Did you say you were a spider? Like,
fighter.
Oh, fighter. Okay, I got you. Sorry.
One day, yeah. No, I was a fighter.
Gotcha.
Yeah, in the ring, a boxer,
Oh, I got you. Okay, right on.
Yeah, and I was fast and hard-hitting, but I guess I hit another way. Now, you see, Bertha died in my hands tonight, and I'm crying tears of joy. I can't talk about that currently, but I can talk about bioelectric energy to no extent. It looks like, feels like, an upside-down opal rainbow. It's solid energy to me. It feels solid, but it looks like a rainbow, a mist.
Do you want to talk about Jay-Z at all? I know more about that.
Oh, yeah?
Well, are there good things on the other side?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's much better than this hard reality that we live in.
I can imagine. Hey, I've got the lines all lit up. Thanks for calling in tonight.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good evening.
You too now.
Bye.
All right, interesting. All right, caller K-Talk, how are you?
Man, I hate jacking, but, it sounds like Clifford Simak's book, where they download a consciousness into another consciousness.
What's that book called?
Oh, well, Clifford Simak.
Clifford Simak, I haven't heard of that.
Well, Simak's books, man, he was, well, I don't know, I read maybe 20 of his books back in the late 60s, early 70s.
Yeah, it seems like sometimes these people, like Philip Dick, he wrote a lot of books that they get kind of put into films and stuff because it's certain themes that the entertainment industry enjoys to put out there. And you know, has this Clifford Simak had any movies based on any of his books?
I don't think any.
Okay.
Personally, I really don't.
I'll check it out though.
I was like Asimov. I was like Asimov, Simak, you know,
science fiction
Strange,
stuff. Huh?
Stranger in a Strange Land.
Have you read any Arthur C. Clarke books?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, 2001 and, well, the list goes on. Well, how about, Rendezvous with Rama? And, you know, it's a crazy thing. These guys, I have no idea what to do. I don't really think they really want to do us harm.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm kind of in a, people want to screw us around, but I'm not sure about that. Because I think sooner or later, at the end of the day, you got to look at your kids and wake up.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Have you ever read Arthur C. Clarke's Final Odyssey?
I haven't.
No, sir.
That's a good book. I was always hoping they were going to make a movie.
Well, I read that in his 2001 book, in the book, he goes to Saturn, but in the film they go to Jupiter.
Yeah.
And supposedly it was because they couldn't replicate the rings of Saturn.
Right.
But the conspiracy is that it's too close to the truth.
Really?
Because, you know, in the book I talk about all the Saturn worship and David Icke's stuff about how it's broadcasting illusory reality. And, you know, Stanley Kubrick plays a big part, and this plays on what the caller's talking about with these works of art. Like, I love Kubrick films. They're the best. But
me too.
2001 had a alchemical symbolism in it with the cube and the monolith.
Right.
And
yeah.
Then, you know, the very next film, you know, and I don't want to take credit for this, but Jay Widener, he's a theorist that he's the king of debunking Kubrick films. So he basically said, you know, this in 2001, he shows that there's this alchemical process where the guy gets transmutated and, you know, he achieves the, what they call the philosopher's stone of immortality. And at the end, you see him, you know, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen 2001 yet, but at the end, he turns into the Star Child. The very next film Kubrick made was Clockwork Orange. And the first scene is Alex, you know, so at the end of 2001, they zoom in on the Star Child, and in Clockwork Orange, they zoom out from Alex. So the idea is that the Star Child is Alex from Clockwork Orange. You know, and then you've got The Shining, which I've got a whole appendix in the book about symbolism you see in The Shining. I try to cover every conspiracy theory there is about it. And, you know, Eyes Wide Shut, I've got a post online about Eyes Wide Shut and all the symbolism within it. You know, all this stuff, I mean, it's steeped in symbolism.
Kubrick, I've been trying to get Kubrick's daughter on the show.
Oh, really?
Trying to chase her down, yeah. Yeah, I'm not having good luck.
What's her story? Is she making films or something? Or what's
she's
her...
going out to... Yeah, she's an independent filmmaker.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's over in Northern?
Yes, yes.
She's in America, though, you said?
Yeah, she travels all over the world, but she's an interesting, she's following her foot. She wrote a book all about her dad.
No kidding.
Trying to get her on, yeah. Hey, Arthur, thanks for calling, bro.
Well, thanks for letting me.
No problem.
All right, guys.
Take care. Good night.
Peace out. No.
We had a guy on, speaking of 2001, we had an expert on, a film expert on, he's a Stanley Kubrick film expert. That movie was made in such secrecy. I mean, Kubrick's an interesting guy, but he's got a book all about the film and how all those huge sets were built. There's very few, you'll find a couple pictures on the internet, but it was all done in secrecy. Mm. I mean, that to make that film was a monumental feat. I mean, when you look at it, it's so cool. And it was it was released a couple of different times. It was released, I think, in 68 or 69 and then back in 70. And actually, if you live in Salt Lake, there's, or in the area here, there's the old, there's a theater, there's a theater in Sugar House. I think it's called the Fox Theater. I'm not sure. Hmm. They actually show it over there once every other month.
Oh, really? So every other month?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, they show a lot of these old
films.
That's
a long movie to sit in the theater. But
I was Googling 2001 A Space Odyssey, and it said local showing. And I think it's every other month it's shown over there on their big screen, you know. But
the conspiracy about that film is that NASA, you know, that Kubrick supposedly shot the photos for the quote unquote faked moon landing, and he was given the money to do 2001 in compensation for
it. Right.
And you know, I don't know. There's a ton out there about that, but it's an interesting theory.
Let's take one last call. We've got about 2 minutes left. Caller, good evening. Welcome to K-Talk.
Yeah, Kubrick made NASA had him made a movie of the moon landing in a building down in Florida. Do you know that?
Oh,
that's why he was murdered.
Yeah, is that the one with
made a landing. They landed on the moon, but the government didn't want Russia to see our equipment, so they had him do it in a building down there. There's a huge building down there, and
That would make sense to me, because I believe we've been to the moon, but
well, we've been there, sure.
I could see that they paid Kubrick to.
The landing was faked, but we went there. We just didn't want to show Russia our equipment and stuff. So they had Kubrick make a movie of the moon landing.
Interesting.
And, he ended up getting killed over it, and just. He was, you know, they thought he was going to let the secrets out and stuff.
Wow, interesting. Got to dig into that. Hey, thanks for calling tonight.
All right, see you.
Take care. Good night. Interesting. Very interesting. Again, the secrecy of 2001, talking with this expert was unbelievable. Isaac, it has been an honor to have you here tonight, and I hope we can get you back again. 2 hours went way too fast.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. I got to come back. There's tons more to talk about.
Maybe we could do 4 hours in a chicken dinner or something.
Right on. Let's do it. Next time I come out in Utah, I'll do that.
Why don't you go ahead and throw the name of your book and where people can get it again?
Okay, go to IlluminatiWatcher.com. That's where you'll find all the greatest in pop culture, conspiracy, symbolism, you name it. The book, you can find links on the website. If you go to the website, I've got a link for it, and you can get a signed copy. It's actually cheaper to buy it through me on IlluminatiWatcher.com than it is on Amazon, but it's on Amazon too. If you want to go that route, I'd rather you go through me, but
you get it that way.
You can get it that way too, because I'll throw in a sticker, a signature, all that. So anyways, yeah, Amazon or IlluminatiWatcher.com.
Sounds great. Take care. It was an honor to have you here. Next week, Donna Carboni and La Shosenek will be here. Take care, everybody. Have a great weekend. Be safe. Fringe Radio on K-Talk, AM 630. Good night.
As the state is working tonight.
Call 1-888-FARMERS to switch, and you could save an average of $470 on your auto insurance. That's a lot of money in just a few minutes. With savings like that, you could be lounging on an impractical amount of ornate and overpriced throw pillows you bought for your couch. But you won't, because you're better with money than that. That's why you're calling us in the first place. Call 1-888-FARMERS to get a quote today.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Based on average nationwide annual savings survey data, July to December 2020, underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Call 1-888-FARMERS to switch, and you could save an average of $470 on your auto insurance. That's a lot of money in just a few minutes. With savings like that, you could be lounging on an impractical amount of ornate and overpriced throw pillows you bought for your couch. But you won't, because you're better with money than that. That's why you're calling us in the first place. Call 1-888-FARMERS to get a quote today.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Based on average nationwide annual savings survey data, July to December 2020, underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.